This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey, DIAH mamas, Sarah here, and I want to take a quick second to tell you about something that I made for you. Yes, you, moms just like you and me, who are clear that we need to take time for ourselves and experience balance, but sometimes we aren't quite sure how to do it. And I get it. So I created the Balanced Mama Moment audio series, an audio experience that dives into what it means to make a balanced mama moment for yourself and how you can apply that to all areas of your life and help you in this crazy journey that is motherhood. So go to sarahbivens.com and click on Balanced Mama right now to learn more and to sign up. Again, that's sarahbivens.com and click on Balanced Mama. Hey, I'm Sarah. When planning our home birth, my husband Matthew and I were really frustrated by the lack of empowering and honest home birth resources. So we created this podcast to start a new conversation for moms and families like us. This is Doing It at Home. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. I'm Sarah Bivens, and I'm kicking it with my husband of 3 years now.
Yeah.
We celebrate our 3-year wedding anniversary this week and our 5-year togetherversary this week. So they fall on the same week, just a few days apart. And
it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. It's crazy.
How are you, Mama?
I'm doing awesome. Doing awesome. How are you?
I'm a little cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cold here.
It's October 30th and it's 30 degrees outside.
Yes.
It was this morning.
Yes.
30. Mm-hmm. I didn't sign up for this.
You didn't sign up for this?
No. No. It's the day before my favorite holiday.
I know.
And if I was a kid and I was going to trick or treat in 30 degree weather,
I get
I'd be kind of pissed.
Well, you would just have to adapt and make your costume one that keeps you warm.
Yeah, but you're just limited, I feel like.
Expand your mind.
I think you'll. No, no. It's just our windows are full of condensation because it's hot in here. Freezing out there, so it looks like we live in a sauna. But here, you know, I don't know. It sounds like I'm just complaining.
You are complaining. Yeah. There are people like up north right now probably listening to this like, are you serious? Like, I would go swimming in that weather.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a warm weather, warm-blooded person.
I get it. Okay, fine.
But beyond that, it's freaking October. It's the day before Halloween, and that's awesome. Halloween's a favorite. You know that.
I know. Our listeners know too.
Yeah.
I've gotten feedback on how it's your favorite day of the year because we've talked about it. How you've been like, babe, Halloween's coming up. And I'll be like, it's April.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but it's there.
It's
and you talk
right
about
around...
it being the most important thing. And it's within a month of your child's birthday and our anniversary. So sometimes
but
I take a backseat to Halloween.
Not sometimes. And let's just be real. Not sometimes. It's a good thing that your birthday's not in October.
I guess so. Jeez. Yeah. We can't have baby number two in October.
Heck no.
When that happens. anyways. Anything else you want to shoot the breeze about before we get into?
You look beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm digging your sweater and I like that hairstyle. I like when it sweeps over
it's crazy.
To the side.
I like
what's crazy about it.
Oh no, it's just doing its thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Oh, no,
it's just
great.
It's all over the place. I like cold weather clothes. My mom always told me growing up that I'm a fall because of my fair skin and my dark eyes and dark hair, dark features, Eastern European. So I'm a fall. So this is my jam right now. I like sweaters and leggings and all that great stuff.
Yeah. Looks good on you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I wanted to talk about something that popped up a couple days ago, so it's really relevant. One of my favorite shows, Jane the Virgin. I love that show.
Yes,
I started watching it. I started binge watching it when I was pregnant, actually. And yeah. I was like, oh, a pregnant virgin. I can totally relate to this show. Let me watch it. But there's so much I love about it. It's, you know, kind of a spoof on a telenovela, mm-hmm. which I know you are familiar with because one of your ex-girlfriends used to watch them and her family. So you used to watch them, didn't you?
Yes, I was trying to learn Spanish.
Mm, that's a great way. I'm sure it's just all really dramatic Spanish, and every time you say something, you have to slap someone.
Yeah, it's just a lot of pretty people speaking, yes. And I had a very hard time. I could follow the story, but like I didn't know what they were saying.
Okay. Well, in this story, in the most recent episode that aired Friday night, so original air date of 10/27/17, and the episode is titled Chapter 67, they feature a home birth.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I just thought that was so cool for many reasons. One, as I already said, I love the show. We're a show about home birth, and they depict one. So I figure why not talk about it for a second? So if you have not watched the show or you're not familiar with it, I'll give a very brief explanation. But also, if you do love the show and haven't watched this episode yet, maybe wait because there will be spoiler. So spoiler alert.
Wait, did you just spoil it though by saying that there was a home birth?
I guess so. Maybe.
Yeah.
But like...
Did you know in episode 66?
We knew this woman was pregnant and very close to giving birth. But we did not know until this episode that it was going to be a home birth. So I don't know. If knowing that it was going to be a home birth spoils it for a lot of people, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
We just made some enemies out there.
I don't think so. Anyway, so, you know, I already prefaced that it's a telenovela. So it's like drama and like this person dated this person impregnated this person, this person has an evil twin. Yes, people come back from the dead. Like all that great stuff happens. It's amazing. But this one, so the woman who is pregnant, how do I do this as succinctly as possible? She was with, her name is Darcy, and she was with Rogelio at one point in time, but they are no longer together. Rogelio married Xiomara. And now Darcy is with Esteban, who is actually Rogelio's mortal enemy. They are telenovela stars on a telenovela, and they hate each other. And so now Esteban is with Darcy, but gets with her like the week before she gives birth is when their relationship starts. Mm-mm-mm. And it gets really hot and heavy. Anyway, that's the briefest backstory I can give. And so when Rogelio is talking with Darcy about the birth plans, Darcy and her now boo Esteban are like, we're gonna do a home birth. And Rogelio is like, oh hell no.
Wait, he
is not happy. So he's the father. He's the father of the child, but they're not together anymore.
And then is Jane the name of the baby that they're birthing?
No, Jane is Rogelio and Xiomara's daughter that was conceived when they were in high school. And then Xiomara has Jane, and Rogelio goes away, and Xiomara never tells Rogelio about her. And then Jane doesn't meet her father, Rogelio, an international telenovela star, until she's like 24 and pregnant herself.
So she knows who he is because he's a big star, but she doesn't know it's her dad.
She didn't know it was her dad, yeah. And so like in that episode, or, you know, that's like two seasons ago, she finds out that he's her dad. It's pretty dramatic. But then they reunite, Rogelio and Xiomara, Ro and Zoe. Now they're together and they're married and they're cool and happy. And so Jane's parents are together now, reunited together and married.
How's Darcy related to them?
Darcy was Rogelio's girlfriend a while back before he got back with Xiomara for good.
Okay.
So they got pregnant, but then they broke up. He moved on, got with Zoe. And then right before he's about to marry Zoe, Darcy's like, I'm pregnant.
Okay. And then Darcy's going to have the home birth.
Right.
And no, so now, but then there was another dude who got with Darcy right before she's about to have
Esteban.
And Esteban, that's not his baby.
Correct.
It's Rogelio's baby.
Yes. But they're all.
So that means it's Jane's sister.
Yes. Half sister.
Oh, dang.
Yes. You got it. Did you guys get it? Do you guys get it at home?
All right. I'm following.
I love this stuff. But they're all seeking to, you know, peacefully, quote unquote, co-parent and like coexist together. So like Ro wants to be a part of the birth and a part of the baby's life and all, because he didn't get to be a part of his first daughter's life because he didn't know he had a daughter for 20 years. So this is his, you know, redemption.
But we know it's not going to end all peacefully.
Probably this not. Because this is Jane the Virgin. So many twists and turns and emotions toyed with.
I bet you it's really Jane's baby.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's not. I'm going to put that out there for it's on the record right now.
Great.
I bet you in episode 68, we find out it's actually Jane's baby.
I'm so glad. Okay. So when Darcy shares that it is her intention to have a home birth, Rogelio is not happy at all. And he's like, no, I don't support this, whatever, whatever. And so Zoe, his kind of like voice of reason throughout the show, throughout this episode, is like, just look into it. Open your mind, research it, whatever. And so he goes into the, you know, depths of Google and he researches and you see like a computer flashing like home birth versus hospital birth and all of this stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. And you think, okay, he's going to, you know, be cool with it. Not exactly. He actually comes out of that experience and is like, I'm more against it now. Like the risks are so high. Like it's so dangerous. She's also, I mean, Darcy's lying about her age. She says she's like 32, but if she is anywhere near Rogelio's age and the way that the show plays out, she's probably like in her mid 40s.
Got it.
So he, you know, he's nervous about that, that with her age, it's not safe and this and that. So he's just like not for it. And so he confronts Darcy about it and they're in this conversation and, you know, of course it's funny and it's cheeky and it's witty and, it, you know, it has all the elements that the show is known for and is great at, but I think it's also really addressing it. And by that, you know, there's a couple of lines in their exchange where Darcy's like, I want to experience the magic of childbirth. I want to experience every freaking, you know, sensation of it. This is what I want to do. I want to be in a pool with jazz music and my beloved Esteban with me. And like, you don't get to tell me I can't have this experience. And he's like, no, like I'm a part of this anyway. And then Zoe, that voice of reason, Rogelio's wife, comes back in and is like, it's not about you, Ro. It's about her. And it is her body and it's her experience. And so I thought that was pretty cool. You know, the ex's, you know, current wife being like, no, I support you, like kind of like a woman to woman type of thing, like yeah, you know, you yeah. have your experience. And so then cut to the birth, you know, scene, the birth experience. They're in the pool, Esteban and Darcy, and she's going through it and she's vocal, you know, she's very loud and vocal, how you would kind of expect it to be depicted in a movie. But I look at that different now. How I used to look at that of like, oh my God, that's terrifying. Yeah. Is now like, yeah, maybe that's how that woman expresses during birth. Like maybe that woman screams, maybe that woman grunts, whatever. Like I look at it more normal now as opposed to like, oh my God.
I mean, we heard all types of expression in the birth videos that our midwife Debbie gave us.
Yes.
She started us out with you know, women who weren't so vocal, and then by, you know, the 8th, 9th, 10th DVD we had watched, people were just expressing and screaming and doing all the stuff.
Let it rip, girl.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's kind of going through that and, you know, she reaches that wall. She reaches that moment where she's like, I can't do this anymore. And Ro and Zoe are there, you know, on the sidelines, kind of watching them in the pool. And she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's go to the hospital. I want the epidural. She has a doula there. And she's like, I want it. Like, I want the epidural. And I mean, MVP award probably goes to Zoe, Rogelio's wife in this situation, because she's like, get in there, get a part of this situation and like help. So he takes that literally, get in there, and he gets in the pool as well. And so now both men, Esteban, her current boyfriend, is behind her and Rogelio's in front of her and he's like, look at me, in like his very intense like Latin accent. And he's like, you wanted the magic of childbirth. You go, like, he just like, you know, he locks in with her and he's like, you can do this. And then next thing you know, a baby pops up out of the water and is placed directly on her chest. And it's like this, you know, everyone is in that bubble now together and it happened and like everyone's okay. And of course that scene wraps up with hilarious. The doula is like, you know, you guys didn't have to be naked, right? Both the men are naked in the pool.
I want to watch this now. That's awesome.
It's great. I love it. It does what I said earlier, what the show does so well, but I think it brings it to light. This show has brought a lot of other issues, again, in their unique, cheeky way, like whether it was, you know, same-sex marriage and rights, immigration reform, you know, hello, look at the demographics of the show. Like, they bring up a lot of stuff and in their own way. And I think it's really cool that they're taking on some of that.
That is cool.
when this home birth thing was introduced, I don't know if I said this earlier, but I was kind of like, oh boy, where is this going to go? Like, are they going to make it look ridiculous? Are they going to make it where she actually ends up going to the hospital and home birth was really scary? And it was, you know, is that where this is going? And I forgot and remembered that one of the stars of the show, not related in this, in this little mix that I
not
just
part
described
of this,
to you,
this little story,
but he's a star of the show. Justin Baldoni, we've talked about him once or twice on the show. He and his wife, Emily, welcomed their second child, their son, Maxwell, through a home birth the week before this episode aired.
Yeah, and they have two kids, right?
They have two.
Two home birth kids.
Yes, one daughter named Maya.
Yeah.
Born at home. She's two and change. And then Maxwell was born. So Maxwell was born October 18th. At home, and then 2 weeks later, this episode airs.
That's cool.
That's really cool. So yeah. I wondered, you know, when I remembered that and made the connection, like, if they asked him any questions about it, or like maybe he was a part of the writing of it.
I would say absolutely. Yeah. I bet you he oversaw a ton of how home birth was depicted. And I bet you a lot of his experience went into the episode from the perspective of hearing all the feedback from other people.
Yeah.
Because the way that Rogelio went on there and went into Google and saw all the stuff and then came out and was just firing off the fears, I wouldn't be surprised if Justin and his wife experienced some of that stuff.
Yeah. And so, you know, going back for a second, when Darcy was sharing her wishes with Rogelio, she was like, oh, he said, why can't we just bring all of that to the hospital? Why can't we bring the tub and the doula? Like, why can't we do that in the hospital? She said, because I'll get an epidural and I don't want one. Mm. If I'm there, I'll get it and I don't want one.
Yeah.
And I thought about that and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I mean, epidural can be extremely tempting at a certain point in time. And when you're extremely vulnerable, when you're tired, when you're weak, when you're going through a lot of pressure waves. I mean, there were one or two points during our labor if someone was like, hey, all of this can go away with just one flip of a switch. Like, I probably would have taken that too. So, but like removing yourself from that.
Not creating the opportunity for that.
Yeah. You know, and of course, barring any sort of emergency, like if you don't want that, then don't put yourself in a space where you'll be pushed towards it or coerced towards it.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really cool. And then of course she's in the tub and she's like, get me the epidural. But, to touch on that one more time, I guess, Justin's wife, Emily, she did a really cool talk that I watched recently. So they're Baha'i, that's their faith. And she did a talk at one of their gatherings. And in it, she was sharing her intention to home birth with someone, you know, a mutual friend or whatever. She was sharing the story in the talk and how the man said, oh, you're going to be begging for that epidural.
Oh, wow.
You're just gonna, and she was like, what? And, you know, just that kind of like, do you not trust in the body? Like, do you not trust in the female body? Like, what is that?
Do you not know how powerful and badass women are?
Yeah. And so I think that tied into it as well. Like, I like to think of her having a part through him and then through him. And so I just hats off to Jane the Virgin. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very well done. And, you know, the magic of childbirth depicted in Hollywood in a cool way.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's episode 67.
Correct.
And,
chapter 67.
Sorry, chapter 67. We'll post a link to it in the show notes for this episode. And when you kind of brought this idea to me, because you told me, hey, Jane the Virgin just did this cool thing, and I'd like to talk about it on the show. I was like, great, great. And it kind of got my wheels turning because, you know, the way that they're depicting birth is very different than how I've experienced birth being depicted in movies and TV shows going back years. Like, I think back to the scene from Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where she's having her baby and it's like, holy crap, that looks dramatic. Mm-hmm. Looks scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking, you know what? Let's do an episode and, you know, the near future, maybe the next week or two, where we talk about how birth is depicted in movies and TV.
Yeah.
And let's try to find some more examples like Jane the Virgin, where it's like, you know, empowering, just awesome depictions of birth. I want to go find some more of that.
Yeah, let's do it. Kind of the duality of it. Because I'm sure some of those less than powerful ones, especially if that's one of the first ones you see or you remember or you think about with birth, like that's some of your first exposure to birth is a Hollywood depiction.
It gets imprinted on you. That's just what you think.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it does. And then maybe factor in there that you yourself don't have a vagina and are going to go through that, what that does for you going forward and how you will support or not support, you know, a move like Darcy's in the show.
Yeah, like maybe, you know, maybe you've been listening to our podcast and you are interested in home birth and all this stuff, but you're not really interested in going to watch an actual home birth video or a birth video quite yet. Like maybe we can find some episodes or some movies that are like, yo, you know what? In blank blank movie, they do a really cool, you know, depiction of birth. Like it's a little bit more realistic. It's less, you know, of the over exaggerated stuff. Go check that out.
Yeah.
You know, you can ease yourself into it that way. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. We have a list of really cool, you know, the ways birth are depicted in movies and TV.
You know, some of the best ways we could find those out. You listeners,
yeah,
oh, share shoot. With us. So message us, email us hello at diahpodcast.com or message us on Instagram at diahpodcast and share with us some, you know, movies that you think portrayed and depicted birth in a really great way. And you were kind of like, well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You did an awesome job.
And let's
share with us.
Yeah, let's keep it in the realm of like entertainment. So TV shows or movies. Not documentaries.
No, not a real life depiction. No, like birth story from TLC or anything like that. Like fictional.
Yeah, yeah. Some fictional awesome fictional representations of birth, or representations where you felt empowered and you felt, you know, just something positive after viewing it. The way that we did, or the way that you did, Sarah, after viewing the Jane the Virgin episode.
Mm-hmm.
Send those to us, and we'll include that in our list, and we'll talk about all of that in the follow-up episode to this podcast.
Boom.
I dig it.
Bam.
Hello at DIAHpodcast. That's the email address. And then on Instagram, at DIAHpodcast, you can DM us. Let us know.
Yes. So thank you for listening to me, Matthew, and my my twists and turns. And I
you
hope
did a
I
good
did
job.
It okay. Whew.
You did it because I was able to follow. And I've seen, I don't know, like a couple of those episodes early on, like season one or something. I don't really remember much that happened. But I was able to follow with characters. I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I haven't heard of these characters. So you did a good job.
Thank you.
Whew. You did
a good
job.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, you guys. We appreciate you. We love you. Hope everyone's having an awesome week and to October, I guess, when this airs. I hope you all had a wonderful, safe, fun Halloween and kick off November powerfully and awesomely. And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.